Welcome everyone joining us here tonight on the Kings County Radio Club's Technical Question and Answer Net. My name is Roy. My call sign is AC2GS, and I will be your net control operator for this informal net. I will be your host, and Bob KD2NVB will be my co-host on this exploration into amateur radio technology. The purpose of this net is to provide a platform for discussion and to offer our answers, as well as promote a conversation among all participants of this net. The club maintains an archive of these technical nets on its web pages, and we also offer original articles and reviews on many of the topics covered during these technical nets. We will be offering a streaming service for those who cannot receive our repeater signal. Just point your browser to stream.kc2rc.com, and we also have an Echo Link node available for use. Just point your Echo Link application to the node kc2rc-r. This net is scheduled for the second and fourth Wednesday of each and every month, and all of this information can also be found on our club's website, which is www.kc2rc.com. Members as well as non-members are welcome to participate, although we do appreciate it when our fellow hams join our club. And as always, a application is readily available on our club's website. No question is too simple. No question is dumb. All wisdom begins with the asking of questions. If you have a question, it deserves to be answered. Our format tonight will be to ask for participants to check in only if they have questions or comments for this net. Please give us your first name, your call sign, whether you have a question or a comment. The net will then address each question in order. I will try to provide a cogent answer, and Bob KD2NVB will join in as well. If any other listener has any further facts or opinions, they will be free to break in with the word comment, and when recognized, offer their knowledge or experiences to us all. If anyone has any suggestions for future topics of interest, please let us know either here on the technical net or use our email address, which is tech@kc2rc.com. And now I would like to introduce my co-host for this net, Bob KD2NVB. Good evening, Bob.
Good evening, people out there. Looking forward to a good net tonight. So back to you, Roy.
Okie doke, as do I. We're going to be taking a month's hiatus because in the next episode of our technical net that would be on September would be a religious holiday that I can't use the radio. And the next one for the second Tuesday in October is going to be the date that we rescheduled our general meeting for October because the first Wednesday of the month is another Jewish holiday. So we're going to be on a hiatus for a month. So hopefully people will be able to get their questions asked tonight because they won't have an opportunity to do that until the fourth Wednesday of October. Anyway, this is AC2GS. This is the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. We're open for business. We'll stay open for as long as anyone needs us. And, you know, hopefully we won't have a very, very quiet, very, very short net, but we'll see what you guys have in store for us. So if anyone has any questions or comments for tonight, please hit that push to talk and ID yourselves.
Welcome to the KC2RC repeater system.
This is Alpha Echo 2, Yankee Golf. Do you copy?
I copy, Sam.
How do you copy, Roy?
You sound fine, Sam. Full quieting.
Copy that.
Any questions tonight, Sam? Do you have any questions for us tonight, Sam?
Good evening. This is Sam, KE2GRI, calling in from Park Slope. I had a question about, so I'm a new ham just getting started. What do you think about when I should start looking at digital modes? Do you think there's some sort of, you know, is it a bit of a cheat code or something? Should I stick to traditional stuff to learn everything, or it's okay to just get stuck in right away?
Well, it depends what you mean by digital codes, because it means different things to different people. To some, it means digital voice, which means D-Star and Fusion and such. To other people, it means Joe Taylor algorithms that are for below noise floor transmissions. That's, you know, FT8 and such. And for yet other people, there's free DV. So what part of digital signals are you interested in?
I mean the digital voice, and especially digital voice, the internet stuff. It seems very convenient, but I wonder if that is, maybe too I don't want to get into that too soon because it feels a little easy, and maybe I'm just getting started. Maybe I should stick to the simpler stuff first, or what do you think?
Oh, okay. Well, it's not that difficult, actually. You're talking about D-Star and Fusion and DMR and hotspots. When you're talking about going through the internet, you're most likely talking about using a local hotspot to gain access to the digital mode backbone. See, it's kind of two parts of the same animal. Digital voice modes initiated as over the air. You got either a used repeater, in the case of DMR, you know, someone was getting rid of their old commercial DMR repeater and they sold it to a ham and he tweaked it and adjusted it and used it for the UHF bands, usually more so the UHF than the VHF. And then there were these internet-based communication bands that allowed you to talk to talk groups throughout the world. And the trouble with that is that you basically commandeer a local repeater for that particular talk group and only that talk group. And it's only until after you leave and disengage the talk group that someone has the option to activate another talk group. But personal hotspots, very much like they used to operate for cell phones, gives people the option of setting up their own kind of mini repeater in their house. So you use your handy talkie to go into the hotspot. Hotspot goes on to the internet through your internet service provider, connects to a server rack of different digital voice mode talk groups or reflectors or rooms, and allows you to communicate all over the world. It's not really that complicated. It's unfortunately just a different thing that's not the same as anything else in amateur radio. So guys who are kind of old timers who are used to different things, they know how to program an FM handy talkie for you know, the different parameters. It has no relationship to something like DMR, so you just have to kind of relearn some things. But you know, if you're starting out, then it shouldn't be that much more difficult than anything else. It's as simple as buying yourself a hotspot, you know, unless you want to make one your own yourself, which I wouldn't suggest for the first time. And you know, there are a lot of YouTubes and a lot of websites that tell people, you know, how to set these things up and how to run them. I don't think it's terribly complicated. Some old-time amateur radio operators look a little bit of askance upon it because they feel that it should be purely and simply radio wave based, that the internet gets in the way. But as long as you don't mind that, it's as good as any way to talk to people all over the world.
I appreciate that. I guess just sort of in terms of where should I start, and as I'm learning, I guess it's, do I stick to normal FM, like pure radio or whatever else, or and hold off on the digital stuff, or you know, just do whatever is of interest to me, I guess, to like learn the right skills in one location before branching out?
I would tend to follow your interests. Just because there's a lot of guys with clipboards who are gatekeepers for amateur radio and have decided what amateur radio is or isn't, you pretty much should decide it for yourself. If you're just starting out, my suggestion would be, for a time being, stick with the FM, stick with the UHF, stick with the VHF, stick with the repeaters. If you're interested, go to Simplex at 520 over at VHF, and you know, work person to person. You know, get the verbal patter going, get a better sense for how things, how people interact on the radio. Behavior. You know, stay away from too much jargon, stay away from too many Q codes and too many CB codes and such. You can basically talk like a real human being without any abbreviations on the FM bands. And, you know, once you get kind of used to that and it's an old thing, you could always branch out. You could branch out to HF, which is a kind of a different culture. You know, the guys that you'll talk to on HF will behave a little bit different than the guys you talk to on repeaters. And also, if you're interested in really widening your interest, get yourself either a DMR or a Fusion or a D-Star handy talkie and look around for a reasonably price hotspot and, you know, hunt around, listen around on talk groups and rooms and reflectors. And if you find a net that interests you on it, or you find a group of guys that you find interesting, you know, key in and say hello and develop relationships with those people. But, you know, there are so many different diverse fields in amateur radio that, you know, you could try each of them out and never circle back to the first one for years to come. So, I mean, and everyone's different. Some people just stay on repeaters. Other people jump immediately to hotspots. And others scurry over to HF. You know, some guys are 80-meter guys, and some guys are you know, gigahertz microwave guys. And it's all good. It depends on the individual.
Appreciate that. Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
This is the KC2RC repeater. Please use PL88.5.
Any other questions, Sam? I guess not. This is AC2GS. My name is Roy. This is the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. We're here on the second and fourth Wednesday of every month, and we're here tonight. So if anyone has any questions or comments or topic for discussion, please hit that push to talk. The repeater is acting very, very strange tonight. It sounds like someone's just kind of hitting the push to talk and not saying anything, and then hitting it a couple of times, but there's no audio, there's no carrier. So, you know, if someone's trying to talk on the repeater, I'm not hearing you. So, you know, try and figure out if there's anything going strange with your push to talk button. It seems to be acting like a momentary. Once again, this is AC2GS with the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. If anyone has any technical questions or topics for discussion, please hit that push to talk. Bob, am I coming across on the repeater? I just want to make sure.
You are, Roy. This is Bob K2NVB. You're coming through loud and clear.
Okay, well, then it might be a somewhat short technical net tonight, given the inactivity. We'll try one more time. This is AC2GS. My name is Roy. This is the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net, and we're open for business, have been for a while now. If anyone has any questions or comments of a technical nature, please feel free to hit that push to talk and give us your call sign.
Echo to Yankee Golf, I have a question.
Yes, Sam. Sam, what is your question tonight?
Roy, if you're hitting the repeater 2 meters FM, and then you switch over to a digital mode, shouldn't that equally have the same ability to work the repeater as doing it in FM? If it works in FM, shouldn't it work in digital mode?
Yeah, it generally should. There are slight different propagation conditions for a digitally modulated signal versus a frequency modulated signal. And there are some people who promote digital modes that suggest that you can reach a repeater farther away using digital modes. I haven't really seen it definitively proved, but they should be somewhat similar. If you can get a decent signal into the repeater using your FM signal, as long as you're using the same amount of power, you should be able to have a decent signal using the digital transmission modes.
This is Alpha Echo 2, Yankee Golf, Sam, at Park Slope. I was trying a new rig out today, the Yasu FT5D. And I think I'm working the 2 meter FM repeater okay, but the digital mode is not hitting it. I'm trying to figure out why that would happen. Back to you, Roy.
Okay. I would have some difficulty. I assume that it's set for the same output signal strength, you know, the same number of watts. I assume you dialed in your call sign. Fusion, I think, requires that you put a call sign into the radio before it works doing fusion. Have you put your call sign into your radio?
Roy, I did. If you don't mind, I would like to switch over to the new rig and see if you copy me on it. Is that okay?
Okay, we can do that.
Okay, this is Alpha Echo 2, Yankee Golf. How do you copy, Roy?
I copy you fine, but I'm picking you up on FM. You're not transmitting on Fusion.
Okay, I don't know if you'd be able to hear me if I switched over to Fusion.
digital mode. Should I try it?
We can try it. It's going to kind of screw up a couple of little things because it's going to switch my radio over to digital, and I'm going to have to figure out how to unswitch it because, I guess if someone transmits on FM after you transmit on digital, it'll revert back to FM. So, Bob, after the digital stream finishes, key up and transmit to me, okay?
I'll do that. Ready.
It'll be a little confusing for other people who don't have who either aren't listening on Echolink or their radio isn't capable of receiving on Fusion, but you can give it a try.
Echo 2, Yankee Golf in FM mode.
Yeah, I hear you on FM mode.
This is Alpha Echo 2, Yankee Golf, Sam. I guess the digital mode is not hitting the repeater, but the FM mode is. Does that sound logical? I mean, I think that's what just happened. Back to you, Roy. Thank you.
You're welcome. It doesn't really make a heck of a lot of sense unless something's going on wonky with the repeater itself. It should be set to receive both, and if you can reach the repeater with full quieting on FM for a given power, switching over to Fusion shouldn't be that of a problem. So I'm not quite sure why the repeater is not accepting your Fusion transmission.
Roy, at least we've established that there is an issue. Thank you very much, and I'll be standing by and listening. Thank you, Bob.
Okie doke. Once again, I'm AC2GS. My name is Roy. This is the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. We're open for business. If anyone has any questions of a technical nature, feel free. Hit that push to talk and ID yourself.
KC2RC.
Twin VP, I just have a very quick one. I think I know the answer, but I'm assuming that if he had successfully done the digital transmission, I would just hear the noise since I'm not currently using an a Fusion radio, and then I would know it was over when the noise stopped, correct?
Correct. That's exactly what it would sound like. I would hear him because I'm using my Yaesu radio, which is capable of both, and it's set to switch over. If it receives a Fusion transmission, it will turn over to digital mode, and when it hears a analog FM signal, it'll switch back to FM analog. So I would hear both. There would be an indicator of what mode it was receiving at. You, with your 7100, doesn't have anything to decode Fusion, so it would sound to you like noisy, just gibberish, just random digital noise being transmitted on a carrier, which can annoy some people when they don't have a Fusion radio, but they have a scanner, so, because they have no way of blocking the scanner if it's programmed for our repeater when the repeater is operating digitally. It doesn't have a tone squelch, unfortunately. Most of scanner. So some scanner owners find it very annoying to have digital capable radio frequencies on their scanner sets.
I understand that. Well, I remember that sound. I remember, not lately, but people used to talk on the repeater, this repeater, in Fusion mode, more frequently. I mean, I don't hear it much now, but maybe I'm just not turning it on the right time. Anyway, yeah. I really kind of knew that. I just wanted to confirm with this. It's been so long since I've heard someone do a digital signal on this repeater.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to experiment, just turn it on tomorrow night after about 9 o'clock. That's when Joe is doing the Fusion net, and he has our repeater connected to it as well. So if you try and listen to it with your 7100, you'll just hear the digital noise.
I didn't know that he wasn't using the repeater for a long time, right? So I didn't know that. See, tomorrow night I'll be playing a gig. I'll even be here, but so I guess he left that for a while, and I guess he came back to the repeater, correct?
Yeah, Maxim set up the Fusion room, and Joe kind of hooks into our Fusion connection. So Thursday nights, unless something terrible happens with our Fusion room Wires X connection, it's set up in his father's apartment over in Coney Island.
I could just listen to it on the air with my FT2 that does do Fusion. without using a hotspot or any kind of wires X if I wanted to.
Yeah, if you have access to the repeater at whatever location, yeah, you could use that to decode the fusion.
Okay, good to know. So once in a while, I might be home. But yeah, I know. A long time he wasn't on the station at all. He was only using like wires X or hotspots or both.
Yeah, that's what was happening. He was going directly into his Wires X room. His Wires X room was feeding out to a bunch of different gateways. So if you had a hotspot, there were about four or five different places you could hook into a gateway and communicate on the FusionNet.
Very good. See if anybody's out there.
Okay, an optimist. I always like an optimist. This is AC2GS. My name is Roy. I'm net control operator for the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. If anyone out there has any questions or topics for discussion that they'd like to roll around, please hit that push to talk and ID yourselves.
Hey, this is Sam, KE2GRI, calling in again. So my question is, I passed my technician's exam on Sunday. Got my call sign on Tuesday and my first radio today. I'm interested in getting into HF at some point, I suspect, and so I think that I will probably want to do the generalist. Is it worth immediately sort of trying to go into that study course and then trying to take it soon, or do you think it's worth holding on?
And it depends on how motivated you are and how you take tests. Some people are very smart, but they for whatever reason, they are not particularly great at taking tests. Other people can take a test and cram the night before. I wouldn't suggest cramming the night before, but there's nothing that special. It's not an electrical engineering degree. You can theoretically, and the question pool is public and available. So you can get a couple of apps or a browser on an iPad, and you could run down all of the, I think about 300 published open questions. Question pool questions for general, to the point where, you know, I did it myself. I studied for the tech, the general, the extra. It got to the point, and I did it in about 4 or 5 weeks. And, you know, I got to the point I was tired of studying, and I could guess what the answer was based on the first four words of the questions. But, you know, again, it depends on how you are with taking tests. If you're pretty good at it and you're well motivated to go over the test questions, the sooner the better, I think.
Makes sense. It was interesting to study for. Do you think it's worth going through them sequentially, generalist and then extra? I'm not 100% sure.
Well, again, it depends. There's a lot of guys out there that are very smart, and they get their general licenses, and that's where they stop studying, and they don't take any more tests. It does limit you a little bit. You get access to every band, but not all the frequencies within the band. I went all the way for extra because, you know, you get it over with, and, you know, you renew it as long as you want to renew it, and you have it. And I don't think it required a great deal more work to get there. Again, none of this is electrical engineering degrees. You know, it's not that difficult. But, you know, again, different people have different attitudes. Some people do it kind of once a month or once every 2 months. You know, they get their tech, they study for 2 months, they get their general, they study for 2 months, they get their extra. There are guys who spread it out to years, and there's guys who shrink it down to one session. Because, as you know, if you paid the $15 to take the exam, you can take all three exams as long as you keep passing. So you can study for the general. You have to take the general no matter what, because the only other license you're eligible to take at this point is the general. So you can study for the general and the extra. And when you finish taking your general exam, if you pass it, you can ask to take the extra. And if you fail, you fail. But if you pass, you got them all done. So, you know, in a perfect world, I'd say, you know, go for all of them, because it gives you open access to every frequency that any other amateur radio operator has. You know, I'd hate to kind of be locked out of some frequencies just because I had stopped at general.
Thanks very much. Appreciate it. Have a good night. KE2GRI.
KE2NVB to, I'm sorry I didn't catch your call. But I could recommend, try them out, if, see if it fits you, but I use something called Ham Test Online for all three levels, and make it fun, and it's, they have this thing where they, all along they come to you, and the ones you get wrong, they throw at you more often, and it's a common algorithm for learning things. Yeah, check it out, Ham Test Online. You might like it. It costs about the, each course costs about the same as if you bought one of those books for $25-$30. I personally got general a month after I got tech because I tried the general test and missed it by a few questions. I hadn't even studied for it. I missed it by 4 or 5. And that motivated me. A month later, I got my general. It took me a couple more years to get extra, but that's just me. But, yeah, just check out Amtest Online if you want. Back to Ned.
Okay, very good, Bob. I hope Sam heard you, and you know, he's already started the journey. He got himself a tech license, which is congratulations to you, Sam. Have lots of fun with it. Enjoy it. There's so many different things that you could do with it. And please, if you have any questions as you start to explore the hobby, feel free to come back here. We're here on the second and fourth Wednesday of every month at 9 p.m. And if you got any questions, we'll try and give you the answers.
Thank you both very much. So far, so good. So thanks very much.
Okay, very good, Sam. 73. Once again, I'm AC2GS. Name is Roy, and this is the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. We're still open for business. If anyone has any questions or comments or topics for discussion, please hit that push to talk and ID yourself. Well, Bob, I kind of think we plumbed the depths of tonight's Technical Net. I don't think we're going to get any more people.
Well, I have to get up at 5:30 tomorrow. Bird walk season. But, anyway, I'm here.
Okay, I don't think this net is going to keep you up late. I have that strange feeling. I'll throw it out one more time. We get a response, great. We don't get a response, well, we'll call it a night. This is Alpha Charlie 2 Golf Sierra AC2GS. My name is Roy, net control operator for the Kings County Radio Club Technical Net. And we're still open for business. If anyone out there has any questions or comments for the Technical Net, please hit that push to talk and ID yourselves. Okie dokie. This net has been brought to you by the Kings County Radio Club. Our club is an ARRL affiliated club based in Brooklyn, New York, and we meet on the first Wednesday of each and every month. Our next meeting will be October 8th, and that's the second Wednesday of the month. We're doing that because October 1st is a religious holiday. Anyway, it's going to be a hybrid meeting with a virtual meeting using Zoom software and an in-person aspect. We meet at the Knights of Columbus at 1511 10th Avenue. Non-members wishing to join a general meeting can email me, AC2GS, with some form of identification for the required link, although our meetings inform normally begin at 7 p.m. The formal regular general meeting starts at 8 p.m. and continues until anywhere from 9 to 9:30, depending upon the number of points that are covered. We have a weekly 2-meter club net on every Tuesday night at 9 p.m. on this repeater. This technical net meets on the second and fourth Wednesday of each and every month at 9 p.m. We also sponsor a 10-meter net every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. on 28.380 upper sideband, and we offer an audio stream of our KC2RC repeater on the internet, as well as a 10-meter net at stream.kc2rc.com. Members as well as non-members are welcome to participate, and although we do appreciate it when our fellow hams join our club, and as always, an application is readily available on our club's website. If you would like to contact the host of this technical net, simply address your email to tech@kc2rc.com. We maintain an active website at www.kingscountyradioclub.com or www.kc2rc.com. which offers archives of this technical net, amateur radio news, original articles, and technical forums. Please visit our website and participate. Our website hosting services were generously donated by the local Brooklyn-based web hosting company Three Aliens Web Hosting, who we would like to thank. As the great philosopher Jimi Hendrix once said, knowledge speaks, but wisdom listens. So try to listen a bit more and talk a bit less. It's time to roll this all up and shut it down, but we will be back October 22nd, and you're all welcome to join us. Thanks to all the people that participated tonight, especially my co-host Bob, KD2NVB. Without you guys, I'd just be talking to myself. So this is Roy AC2GS going clear and getting the heck out of here. We'll see you down the line, guys.
73, Roy.
82 at VB going clear, 73, Roy, 73 to everybody out there. Good night.